welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer podcast. I'm Richard, your announcer, coming to you again wherever you happen to be on this beautiful day. Biblical truth. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Resultant exhortation, encouragement, and our soul's assurance. The Bible teaches that prayer is the chief and perpetual exercise of faith. Prayer cannot help but express the hope and joy that are inevitably attached to faith. John Calvin. Our purpose, igniting a growing, biblical, dynamic, sincere, soul-satisfying communion with our Savior. And now, once again, here's your host, Fred.
Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer podcast. My name is Fred, and I am the voice of the podcast, and contented, and actually, the best word might be perplexed at God's will in all things, actually, but especially in this, to even get a chance to share God's word and God's will about prayer in any meaningful way is a wonder to me. I am obviously thankful. And just bless the Lord because He gives us this chance to talk together about prayer with one another. Today, we are going to look at God's. We're going to take a review of God's, part of God's tutorial in my life that led me to prayer and seeing God working in those prayers. The whole point of this episode is an illustration of how God teaches us not only prayer, but everything in our lives. And that is always, His teaching is always including our experience as well. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day. Lord Jesus, I love saying that because in Thy salvation, this is a beautiful day and every day is a beautiful day. We thank You as well that You are Yahweh, Rohi, the God who heals us, and we see healing in many ways, but we thank You for that because we also know that includes healing our sin and forgiving our sin, and if You chose for one moment to not think about us or to not keep this world going, we know it would no longer exist. So we just pray that You would lead us, sweet Jesus, in the way we should go, lead us to that prayer life, lead us to communion, the communion for which we long, our inner man longs, and we commit this time to You, praying that You would make it so. We do thank You and praise You for Your goodness and Your mercies to us, and we just bow before You and thank You as well that we can, in this life, not only know that we have eternal life, but enjoy our walk, our sojourn, our faith, our trials, and our joys with You, our Savior, the Holy God of the universe. Again, we bow before You and pray that Your will is done today. Thank You, Jesus, that it's not our power, it's Your power that's in focus. And again, we pray that You would visit us in that power, Holy Ghost, move on us each to teach us something today we can use to draw closer to You. Thank You again, Jesus. We again bless You for Your blood and pray all this, Holy Father, in the name of the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, that Your will be done. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. It is a principle, actually, in all our lives, but especially our Christian lives, that as we grow spiritually, and we will all our lives because of who we are, fallen creatures that we are. But in the process, just as in everything else, we learn principles. We process in our thinking through those principles, and then we work out those principles, those thoughts, in our own way and in our own time. But we learn that they either work or don't work, and then we grow in accord with those thoughts. We experience them, in other words. And one thing that I wish I knew earlier in my Christian life is that the Christian life is a process of growth. We don't get saved and then become perfect. We begin growing once we get saved. And that truth explains a lot of our difficulties with other people and with ourselves, and why other people sometimes look at us, unless we are transparent with them, as hypocrites. Nevertheless, we learn the Word of God, and then in our experience, throughout our Christian lives, the truth of that shows forth in how God works in all those things. In a book by Sinclair Ferguson called Devoted to God, which I would highly recommend, I love that book. It's made a big difference in my whole Christian walk, even at this late stage. He writes this, "The Lord is the master of the jigsaw puzzle of our lives. The pieces may be strangely shaped. Often we cannot see how they fit together. But eventually, when the big picture is complete, we will see that each piece was perfectly shaped. He leads us by ways we could not have guessed into situations we never expected, to fulfill purposes we could never have imagined." And how true is that? In the experiencing of God's will, again, Dr. Ferguson says, "In it we experience the pleasures of knowing God and discovering His unfolding purposes for us. We taste and see that He is good." And so that lesson, that thought from Ferguson, Dr. Ferguson, we are able to apply also to our growth in prayer. And again today, this is a Prayer 101, an encouragement episode of how we apprehend and experience eternal life, seeing His power, His purpose in all our lives, and His goodness, His the excitement of that, the abundant life we gain through Him, we will see also. And this is a testimony. So I do want to actually go back, and we covered this at the very first of the podcast, but we're going to recover this episode. They're going to be shorter than the first one, which I think was 90 minutes. And as I mentioned way back then, I'm not interesting enough to hold anybody's attention for 90 minutes. But I want to go back to when I was in the first year of Bible school. I believed God led me there. In fact, I didn't feel like I could do anything else. I just had an ever-increasing desire to know His Word. And we got there, and the first semester was pretty difficult. And we faced some financial difficulties, my wife and I. And so I took a job at the school district. And we got through the first semester. I went part-time. And then the second semester, that was coming up, and I was experiencing what I called tensions back then, several of them all at the same time. We were coming up, and this might have been the second year of school as well. I have some of those facts are all fuzzy in my old man's mind by now. But anyway, a new semester was coming up, and those tensions were weighing more heavily as time went on. One of them was I didn't know how I was going to pay for school. Another one was the job I was doing was stressful. Another one was I really did want to be able to give my full attention to my learning and to God, and I had to work a lot of hours in this job. So how to pay for school was an obvious issue. And then in work, I had a goofy boss. I worked part-time by myself in a bus stop where the bus drivers were. And then I worked part-time at a school. And the boss at that school was a pretty goofy guy, is the best way, the most gracious way to say that. And he was actually very demanding and had some kind of goofy rules. So I had those tensions, school and how to pay for it, especially without a job, and then a job that I didn't particularly enjoy. And I was truly in distress, not knowing how I was going to deal with them. And then I received a scholarship, a partial scholarship from a couple who had been through the school, and they started this scholarship for married men. And I made a deal with the money person, the financial person at the school, that I could use my scholarship, which was about 10% of what the semester was going to cost, only as a down payment, because I didn't have anything else to give. And if I could use that as a down payment, then my thought was, you know, I'd just make payments. And actually, I didn't know how I was going to make those payments either. I really wasn't able to do that either, but kind of by faith and just be kind of out of necessity, out of the knowledge that I really was supposed to be there, or the thought that I was really supposed to be there, I made that deal. And I still, like I said, didn't know how I was going to pay for the rest of the semester or how I was going to handle school full-time and the stress of a full-time job. Now, this goofy guy, he did have one of my coworkers, and we'll call him graciously as well, one of that guy's minions. He would kind of spy and listen and check on us, needlessly, I thought, at the time. But that's how the goofy boss did things, and he had his minion. And the night before registration, when I had all these tensions, all these things going through my mind, I was engaged in a controversy, an argument with his minion. And it was goofy, and he was a Christian. And a few days later, he did come back and apologize, and we reconciled. But it was a pretty stressful argument right before the night of registration. And after that argument, I got on my knees and just prayed, and even in my spiritual immaturity, as far as all those concerns were, and in tears, truly weeping, in desperation, I asked God he would somehow supply so that I only had to work for part-time for the school. And that would have obviously been at that little bus stop thing and not for the goofy guy. And then the next day, I got up for registration, and I went outside, and we had a little motorcycle. It was a little Yamaha 360, and it was broken. Somebody had come along and tried to hotwire it, and all they succeeded in doing was sticking a piece of wood in the ignition and then breaking the ignition. So, kind of with a sigh, I did hotwire it. I pulled the wires off. Which that person may not have had time to do, but I pulled the wires off and I got it started and I went to school and I started working on the motorcycle. I bought the part on the way and registering at the same time. So all those tensions were there as well. But now as I was working on the motorcycle, I was frustrated because I couldn't get it to work. I'm not a very good mechanic. And on top of that, I had dirty hands from working on the motorcycle. And I don't like having dirty hands in general, but especially out in public. I used to call it a phobia, but it's not really a phobia. It's an aversion. And I changed that thought when I had a six-year-old son who asked me why I had a fear of dirty hands. But anyway, so I was working, registering in between. We registered in waves for different classes and years. And so I was registering, working on the car, registering, working on the car. So added to the main tensions in my life, I had, again, the motorcycle being broken, the fact that I'm not a good mechanic, and that I had dirty hands. I was embarrassed. In the middle of all that, I got called to the financial office. And on my way, I was nearly in tears. It was all I could do to hold back the tears because all I could think was, they're going to tell me that I cannot use my scholarship as a down payment. And I just knew the way everything was going. And holding back the tears, I went into the office. The financial person, her name was Anne, and she asked me to sit down. And then she said, I want to read you a letter. And she read this letter to me that had a check attached. And the people, who I still pray for, by the way, who had financed the scholarship, they had decided they were in a position to make it not just money that it was, the 10% that it was. They expanded it, that scholarship, to cover the whole year of school. And in front of this very proper financial person, very nice, but very proper, I just began to weep. I couldn't believe it. God had answered the prayer. And with that supply, I didn't have to work full-time anymore, and I could get away from the stressful part of the job, and then I could also devote more time to my schooling, and I just began to weep. After a few moments, we talked and prayed, and we're thankful together. I was able to get it together, and I went back out to the parking lot. I called the school to tell them I would be switching to part-time, and then as I went back to work on the motorcycle with a little better spirit, I realized that I was trying to put that ignition switch in upside down and it wouldn't fit. And that's why I was getting frustrated, because I wasn't doing it right. And all of a sudden, those tensions were all gone. And it still defies my comprehension as I think about this, when I think about God and His power and His timing. Now, this is a little part, and I won't spend long with it. The stresses, they were real. My calling was real. That's where I was supposed to be. And what God did in accomplishing the impossible to me was real. And the fight with the minion the night before was real. I don't like conflict much at all anyway. And what God did as I bowed on my knees and the tears I prayed were real. And deciding to carry through and register the next day was real. The frustration of the motorcycle, the vandalism, broken, the fact that it was beyond my skills, my dirty hands, all those worries, they were real and tangible in my life. Now, in those days, in the olden days, this is how things worked, young people. In the olden days, there wasn't email, there weren't texts. There was probably money transfers, but only for the right people who could afford it in those days. So when you think of what God did, He brought me to the height of frustration. He brought me to the height of tensions in my life. And then at some point, and I don't know when, He had that couple to decide to give more. Then He moved them to get a check ready. And then, again, in those days, communication the way it was, they had to put that check in the mailbox. And a postman comes and gets it. It gets sorted. It gets sent to the next city or the destination city. And then it gets out. You guys know enough about how the mail works. But that was it. That was all we had. And the timing of the check getting to the school on the exact day when my frustration was the highest, God brought all those things together to answer that prayer on my knees the night before in a most powerful way, in still, to me, an astonishing way. And we're going to talk about some biblical events in a few weeks that God answered these prayers. I'm telling you, He answers the prayers, and that was my first lesson, that He answers prayers in the same way He did. So again, I look back, God orchestrated my circumstances. He orchestrated all the events, the call, the confusion, the stress. He brought that all together. And if I'd had a wonderful job, maybe I wouldn't have felt that tension between work and school, and I wouldn't have been fully dedicated to school. I don't know. But He orchestrated the mail, the timing, the couple, and I still pray, like I said, blessings for them, and still praise God for what He did in the supply of the better part of my schooling. And they didn't know me. They didn't know our circumstances, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And it's still a glory. It's still amazing to me. And if you have thought about that, you know He has worked the same way in your lives as well. And when we stop and really think and meditate on what He has done, we realize that He is working in our lives just the way He worked all the way through the Bible. If you stop, you'll know that He accomplished His will in your life in an amazing way. And you might think, or the world definitely thinks and would call it a coincidence. And you might even be tempted to think it's a coincidence, but it's not. It is not happenstance. Early on in the podcast, we mentioned David and how when he failed for the king, King Achish, and he spit all over his beard and he acted like an insane person. And then he ran when the king let him go. He ran to the desert and he was disappointed, at least seeing himself as a failure. And he prayed and he penned in Psalm 142, a woeful lament. And in the middle of that woeful lament, he says, "No one cares for my soul." And the reason I bring that up is Psalm 34. Because if David had not prayed, and when we don't pray, we have that Frank Sinatra attitude. That's life. That's what all the people say. Sometimes you're down, and sometimes you're up. And we all have experienced that. In fact, we kind of expect up and down cycles, don't we? And David may have been tempted to say when God finally answered, "That's just the way it goes. I was down and now I'm up." At the end of the psalm, he does have a verse of hope. Psalm 142:7, he says, "Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to thee. The righteous will surround me, for thou wilt deal bountifully with me. David prayed, and then he saw God's work. And if later he had not done that, he may not have given God the credit and penned the most joyous, victorious psalm, prayer, Psalm 34, in the whole of the Bible. And he testifies in that psalm as well about the works of God. He learned who God is and how God is moving because of that experience of failure, dribbling on his chin, and then hiding in the cave. And that's why he was able to give God the credit, because he stopped. He didn't just say, I'm down and out. What am I going to do next? And if you struggle with maybe seeing God's work in your life in that way, or if you don't pray, you'll probably feel like Frank Sinatra, riding high in April and shot down in May. And then he says in the song, but I'm going to change that tune when I'm back on top in June. There's a couple of things there. He's going to change that tune. And life is just a cycle. That's the whole point of that song. But the reality is God hears our prayers. He heard David's. He hears yours. He hears ours. And he answers. And he constructs our lives, just like we've talked about, in such a way that we do call out to him when we are in distresses. And maybe after we've tried everything else, we call out to him. That's his purpose, to lead us to call out to him, and in time to call out to him first. And if you don't believe, as an active part of your faith, that God is moving in the same ways he did throughout the Bible, there's only two things I can think of. One of them is you haven't thought about your life, your own life, and the miracles he's done in it long enough or in depth enough, or you don't pray enough, and you be like Frank Sinatra and attribute some things just to the cycles of life. Because when we pray over and over again for various amounts of situations, the only conclusion is glory to God, and our question is, how did you do that? In my case, and I can't wait to get to heaven to see, but how did you orchestrate the mail to get here on the very day I needed it? I remember praying that. How did you move through my trouble and my frustration and my embarrassment about my dirty hands and pointlessly trying to work on this motorcycle when I would rather have been doing something else, like not worrying and registering for school? And in those times, I don't know how he did it. It's impossible for me to see how he put that all together. But what I do know is that he did. And if you look at your life, you will probably say there are times when I don't know how he did what he did, but he did them. And that incident, like I mentioned 4 years ago, was a great leap of hope and joy for this inattentive child of God. And I mentioned this as well when we did this the very first time. The money is gone, long gone. My education is finished. The friends that I have, I still pray for, but I haven't seen them for about 100 years or so. But what I remember and what is foremost in my mind and on my list of answered prayers, and will be throughout eternity, I think, I will be able to glorify the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is what he did for my soul in that moment. The tensions, frustrations, the fear, the trouble at work, the worry over money, the wonder if maybe I wasn't really in his will, that fight at work, the desperate cry, the desperate prayer of my heart. How did he work all those things together and in his timing? I don't know, but glory to God that he did. And I need to say this as well. This is no braggadocio for me. When you're desperate, when we are desperate, like we saw last episode with Peter in the storm, when we are desperate, the children of God are desperate, we call out as we believe. Frank Sinatra would believe it's just life, cycles up and down. I'll wait, and then in a little while, things will be okay. But we believe in Jesus Christ, the God who hears, the God who answers, and he's the God who saved us and cared for us. He even prays for himself. Both Holy Spirit and Jesus do. We've talked about that before. And the point of our growth is that we grow, we call out to him and hope in him, not that we'll be back on top in June, But we have the God who's going to answer. And sometimes he answers tomorrow. But again, that wasn't me. I was desperate. And that's all I could do was get on my knees and pray. And as Sinclair Ferguson reminded us, our steadfast faith, the proven faith that we have in Jesus, gets proven over and over again that he is Lord and that he is working and that our prayers are effective. Would I have liked to have that money earlier? Certainly. But God, being concerned about my faith and growth, desired me to call out to him and not to think of just things cycling around. So he had those stresses on my life so I would call out to him and then see that wonderful answer in prayer. And our encouragement is God is still working. He's still working in your life. And he does, as he did throughout the whole Bible. His character is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I heard real quickly recently a quote from a Puritan pastor, and he was talking about the verse in Peter that says God sometimes seems lacking in his promises, or that's the way he applied it. And he made the point that maybe God is lacking or delaying, is what that verse means, things in our lives, the answers to our prayers in our lives, because we are lacking in our praise, thanksgiving, and honor for what he has already done. And that was quite a rebuke for me to listen to. He is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. And we learn that by prayer. Again, my exhortation, probably a little heavy-handed right at the moment, is if you are not praying consistently, you do not and cannot know him very well because he uses prayer and Bible study. Prayer is a discipline. We've talked about that as well. And I have mentioned more times in the last 4 years, if you binged the podcast for the last 4 years, which I don't actually recommend for your own sanity, but if you did, you might say to the proposal that prayer is a discipline, you might say, enough already, we know, but it is a discipline. But another reoccurring truth over and over again, that as we develop our prayer lives, our communion with the Holy God of the universe, the lover of our soul, we will one day experience prayer as the most joyous, exciting, and meaningful thing we do. And I do apologize. While I can promise you that, I can't promise you the timing. I don't mean to say, and I don't think you would take it this way, that if you got on your knees right now and prayed for a stress that's in your life or attention, that you would get the answer tomorrow. God works with us individually, and he causes his glory to abound most in how he works with us individually and our good individually as well. I have waited and am waiting through many tears for some of the prayers that I want to be answered. And when I see those prayers answered, when you see those prayers answered in the future, the quality of your life, the capacity of your soul to praise and honor and thank him in the knowledge of his will for his glory, generally and specifically, those things all come through our forthright, devoted communion with him and the Word of God. Without those devotions, we all would be more frustrated in our walk with God himself, and even perhaps be led to the false assumption that God doesn't work as he worked 2,000 or 3,500 years ago, actually almost 4,000 years ago in the biblical history. He does work in all those ways, and we need to acknowledge him in all those ways. And we're going to look again at Abraham's servant, Abraham and Paul, to see that as well. He does work in a broad pattern through our experience because of our fallenness and the fact that we walk by faith. And we experience him again as we read and pray. We will do a couple more personal testimonies. But my prayer is, and will be now for the podcast for a few weeks anyway, is that we would learn together that this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You know that's John 17:3. But further, that we will all be able to say together before we get to glory, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Selah, rest. I lay down and sleep, and I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. Oh, sweet Jesus, we do thank you for your goodness and your will and the wonder of your will, the perplexity of everything that you call us to do. Today, we just bow before you and thank you that as we look back over our lives, we see miracles, we see our assurance, and we know it's a beautiful day, and we give you glory for that beautiful day. Just bless you for the opportunity that we have to learn, and we bow before you in humility, asking that you would move us however you need to, even if it's desperation in the moment, to develop that prayer life that honors you, that helps us to understand your will, and gives us the joy and the peace that we long for in this veiled journey. Again, we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because of your power and your glory and your purpose. Thank you once again for the blood of Jesus. And we pray, do thy will in our lives. Make us come to thee and learn from thee. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. We are going to hear after this episode. It might be a little longer than typically, but we're going to hear Tell Me the Story of Jesus, a medley, and This Is My Father's World, once again from Chad Marvin and Joanna Chapman. Thank you, Jesus. Brethren, may we all be able to say, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for one another.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. Despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. And trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, He is the Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died will be satisfied when earth and him be one. Jesus who died shall be satisfied and earth and him.
As always, thank you for listening. We look forward to hearing from you at www.frponprayer.com or freerangeprayer@gmail.com. And for all your voiceover needs, go to richarddurrington.com or durringtonr@gmail.com. Keep your dial here for our next episode. And if you have a dial, you just might need an upgrade. For Fred and I, have yourself a prayerfully fun-filled day. As always, thank you for listening. We look forward to hearing from you at www.frponprayer.com or freerangeprayer@gmail.com. And for all your voiceover needs, go to richarddurrington.com or durringtonr@gmail.com. Keep your dial here for our next episode. And if you have a dial, you just might need an upgrade. For Fred and I, have yourself a prayerfully fun-filled day.